This was our first grower shed on the left. This was our second grower shed, and we built a sow accommodation and farrowing pens and weaner pens, and we put in a feed mill and storage. And that's when you really learn how to spend money. Out of that, we've got another six or seven grain silos that we distribute to. You'd need a lot of brass to fill those silos. But our feed bill this week will be about a tenth of our normal week. We've only got 1,000 head left, and they'll be gone before the end of the year. Usually you'd walk through here and one little pig would go, woof, and the rest would go, wow. They'd all stand up and yell out, hey, come back here. They're very social animals.
How does it make you feel, George, when you walk through your sow pens and you don't have that interaction to look forward to anymore?
Well, it's a very empty feeling, I can tell you. I mean, this has been our whole life for 50 years. As we turn into another shed here, you can see what an empty shed looks like.
Not quite empty.
Oh, these are the sole survivors, just they're the last, the remnants. Hey, girls. I'll probably finish up in small goods somewhere, which is fine. That's because that's been our business, producing meat. And it's really, realistically, it won't be any cheaper. From now on, pork meat in Australia will become, I believe it's starting to kick already, it's become very expensive. If people want Australian product, they're probably going to have to spend a bit more, especially if they want all the animal protection functions that they demand. We can supply it, but there's got to be at a price. The product we turned out of these sheds, it's absolutely brilliant. It really was. First-class product. You wouldn't get it any better anywhere else in the world. I mean, we could do it in Australia, but we've had a series of political decisions that have made it outfits like small family farms difficult to compete with the big corporates. This was originally a zigzag configuration in here, zigzag farrowing pens. You can get the most number of farrowing pens in a zigzag configuration. And this was our original farrowing room.
How did pig production evolve in your time here?
Well, in the 60s, people were bringing their pigs out of the paddock and shedding them intensively. Instead of just having your skim milk being pumped out on a pipe into a hollow log out the back paddock past the dairy, and all the pigs roaming through wire fences down to the creek, they brought them into sheds, and it was a whole lot new experience. Different skills had to be learnt and adapted to, and the design of the sheds and the pens was all new.
It sounds like you embraced those challenges head on. What do you consider to be your most significant achievements here?
Survival. We didn't get any free rides. When we came down from New Guinea, we had a limited amount of dollars in our back pocket, but we did have an interesting team of people who were there to assist and help us. In government field staff in those days were very good. They don't exist anymore. I'll take you down to another shed. All the infrastructure you can see in here, Charlie, all the farrowing pens, we designed and built them ourselves. I think there's 40 farrowing crates in here.
Looking back, what did you consider to be the biggest challenge?
Marketing was always an issue. The number of outlets that were available as a producer in North Queensland was fairly limited. When I first started, the bacon factory in Mareeba was still operating. That was a co-op. There had been other enterprises operating. There was Williams over at Yungaburra, and they had a processing facility in Cairns. We have sold pigs to processors in Townsville. Another small producer and myself, we had a crack at selling our pork pigs into Cairns. I mean, we did supply some of the major chains for a spell at different times.
The relationships and your longevity in the industry is just remarkable. How much will you miss that? I mean, I was in at my butcher shop the other day and he told me that his grandfather used to buy pigs off you.
Well, there's a lot of people that have bought pigs off us over the years. The family butcher was our cornerstone. Their demise has been at the profit of the very large supermarkets, which are very difficult for family farms to deal with.
But you were one of the largest producers on the tableland.
We got to a position where we, with our marketing business, which was Morganbury Meats, the pigs were an essential part. We could walk in the door with a whole range of products and all coming off the tablelands, and they couldn't get any fresher.
You've talked about the fact that you do believe that pork prices will have their day, but you're not going to be around for that.
No, I'm not, Charlie. Which is, in retrospect, is pretty upsetting. But I wasn't prepared to throw away my last penny on just because I'm stubborn, old bugger.
What was the final straw?
Our feed costs got out of control. We'd always had some control over them. I mean, even now I fill up our silos with grain if we had grain, and we could have battled on for a bit longer. But I'm 77. It's a dilemma that most independent family farms face at different times, I imagine. We came into this place here when we came out of New Guinea 50 years ago on a wing and a prayer. We were idealistic about it at the time and we were driven, and that got us through a lot of those early years. But they were tough.
Could you have seen it coming, the changes in the dynamic, the agricultural profile of the tableland, and the fact that feed was going to become so much more difficult to obtain and so much more expensive?
Well, the areas where they grew all of that corn, most of that country now is covered in avocados. So the old culture of corn and peanuts and spuds, that's all gone. And I think it's what they've got now is a fabulous mix of agricultural activities, and just shows you how brilliant Tinaroo's been. It's been an absolute bonanza. Anything you see around green on the table, this end of the tablelands, is all because of Tinaroo, and the early tobacco guys that worked their butt off to achieve Tinaroo was enormous. The fact that there's no one's capable of making a determination to build any more dams up here is just about the dumbest thing you could imagine. It'll be different in another 50 years. There'll be other crops and bigger and better projects going on up here, but if they haven't got the water, forget about it. This is an agricultural community, and we live and die on water.
How do you feel knowing that pigs may no longer be a part of that agricultural mix?
I'm not distressed. I just think it's a sad moment for us. It's the way we've exited, these sheds are pretty confronting, but it's almost inevitable. Nothing stays the same forever. But that's only me. This hasn't been just me alone. My wife's been a very strong supporter of everything I've done here. As most small farming enterprises are, you'll always find a strong woman behind a successful fella, and that's what I've got.
But the mark you've left and the Greenwood family has left on the Atherton Tablelands agricultural sector, what do you hope will be remembered most about it?
We are honest producers and honest traders. We didn't hurt anybody getting here, and we'll eventually leave this land in a better state than we found it. And I'll have left behind a very good family. It's been a great run.